Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
It's a Bears Friday because the first round of the 2021 NFL Draft was last night. The Bears moved up 9 spots from 20 to 11 by trading a bunch of picks, and they nabbed Justin Fields. And I didn't think it was going to happen. I want to say it was like 10-1 odds against the Bears getting him, and now it appears in many of the betting markets he is the number 2 favorite for NFL Offensive Rookie of the Year. So that presumes he's going to play. You don't get that having a Patrick Mahomes sort of redshirt year. You don't get that. So it does look like at least the odds makers believe he is going to play, regardless of what the Bears are saying now.
You know what happened the last time we had a Bears Monday on a non-Monday?
It was after the press conference in January?
No. It was after Carson Wentz was traded to the Indianapolis Colts.
Right.
So right. We had to mark ourselves and notice at that time, were we going to be happier after that day? And then the Bears signed Andy Dalton. And I think the jury was out. But now that the draft has happened, which nobody saw coming, still very happy that they don't have Carson Wentz.
I agree 100%. And I also mentioned that when they got Mitchell Trubisky, the first time I started wavering in my thought about his potential was when I heard him talk. I think you're going to like what you hear from Justin Fields, not only later on today, 2:20, when he's on The Score this afternoon, but let's listen in right now to how he answered some questions in the typical immediate post-draft whirlwind on his Zoom press conference.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely been a lot of criticism, but, you know, me, at the end of the day, I feel like I know, you know, myself, I know how much work I put in the game. I know how much I love the game. I know how much I want to be great. So it just comes a point in time where you just have to cut, you know, all that criticism out. And of course, you know, it's good to listen to the criticism you get from, you know, people that are, you know, actually there to help you. So if it was from a coach or anything like that, of course, I'm going to take that criticism. But I feel like, of course, you know, there's a lot of, you know, criticism coming from outside voices that didn't really matter. So I just, you know, did my best to kind of cut all that out and really just get to work. So
what was tonight like for you just sitting through those first 10 picks before you got the call at 11?
You know, I'm the kind of guy that thinks that everything happens for a reason. So I think, you know, this is God's plan for me to be a Bear. So I'm more than excited, and I'm, you know, more than ready to get up there for sure.
Hey, Justin, how did you find out that you were going to the Bears? What was that phone conversation like? And during the pre-draft process, did you have any hints that this might have been the outcome?
Yeah, so basically, you know, Coach Nagy called me up and just asked me if I was ready to be a Chicago Bear, and I told him, of course. I mean, so of course the phone call went well. You know, Coach Nagy's a great coach. He's a great person. I got to, you know, build a sort of a relationship, you know, with him, you know, these past couple of months. But, you know, just talking with him a little bit, you know, getting to know him. And then, of course, going back to hints, I don't think I had, you know, any hints. I had no idea, to be honest with you. So I was confident, you know, in myself, I guess, to wherever I ended up, I was going to, you know, be in the right place for me. So again, I'm excited.
Adam Hoge, NBC Chicago.
Justin, what can you tell us about, you mentioned building that relationship with Coach Nagy. Was it over Zoom calls? It's your pro day. Yeah. What kind of interactions? Can you go be a little bit more specific about all that?
Yeah, I would say most of it was during Zoom calls. Of course, we did, you know, have a little bit of conversation at my pro day, but most of it, you know, through Zoom calls. And it's just, you know, of course, just talking and, you know, getting to know him, you know, not only as a coach, but as a person. So I'm pretty big on, you know, having great relationships with my coaches. I think, you know, that's the most effective way to, you know, be great and kind of be, you know, cooperative as a team. So just mainly through Zoom and a little bit at my pro day.
Hey, Justin, what type of player and person would you say the Bears are getting in yourself? And what do you think is your number one strength?
I mean, you know, I think the kind of player the Bears are getting is a, you know, a versatile player, a player that can, you know, make plays both with my arm and also with my legs. And of course, a smart player, a player that's going to make smart decisions and a player that, you know, that wants to win, that's willing to do whatever, you know, to win. So that's, of course, my number one job. However that may be, whether, you know, whatever my position may be on the team. But my number one strength, I would just say my overall, not even my overall, but just, you know, showing up in big moments. I feel like when big moments present themselves, I feel like, you know, there's just another thing that kicks inside of me. But just, you know, I think capitalizing in big moments and, of course, you know, playing well on big stages, I think that's definitely one of my strengths for sure.
Hey, Justin, going back to Matt Nagy, based on your conversations with him and getting to know him, how do you think you fit with what he wants out of a quarterback?
Yeah, I mean, I think I fit, you know, perfectly. You know, I think if he didn't think I fit well, he wouldn't have traded up. But I think, you know, just talking to him, you know, getting to know, I guess, how he communicates with his quarterbacks and his learning style, I think that, you know, that's going to make me a better quarterback, a better player. And, you know, he's going to teach me a lot. So I'm just, again, excited to get up there and learn.
Justin, this is a franchise that struggles trying to find a franchise quarterback. What do you believe makes you the kind of guy who can be that quarterback for the Bears and for Chicago?
You know, just the way I care of myself, just the way I, you know, care about the game, the, you know, the grit I have, the determination I have to be great. You know, I think, you know, nobody kind of has a story that I have. So just everything inside of me, just wanting to be a great quarterback, wanting to be a franchise quarterback. And of course, me dreaming for this moment my whole life. So I think, you know, all those intangibles, my work ethic, you know, and you know, all of that together will, of course, be different for me.
Justin, how much do you think the college experience will translate for you, given that you played at a big program and played against a lot of big programs like Alabama and Clemson? You've been on that stage.
Yeah, for sure. I definitely think, you know, it'll translate well, especially with the fan base. You know, I know that, you know, Bears fans are very passionate about the football. And, you know, of course, so is Ohio State. So it's really kind of going, I guess, kind of in the same, you know, aspect of things in terms of, you know, seriousness and in terms of, you know, a passionate fan base. So I think it'll definitely translate well, though, for sure.
Justin, I know you said everything happens for a reason, but I assume you think you belonged among those top three quarterbacks. Does that put a chip on your shoulder as you come in to try to prove those guys wrong that didn't pick you up earlier?
No, not really. I mean, I've gone through situations where I haven't been chosen, and, you know, I think the world has seen the outcome of that. But, you know, my goal is now is not to worry about those teams. I mean, those teams have nothing to do with me. My goal is to, you know, if we play that team, to you know, beat them. So I'm not worried about, you know, the draft. The draft is over for me. For me personally, I'm ready to get to work.
Now, Justin, how hard was it just waiting? You know, everyone thought you were going to be a top 10 pick, and to not be a top 10 pick. Mm-hmm. How much did that bother you? What was your family like during that? How much did they kind of?
I mean, just like I said, I felt like, you know, my family was, you know, more nervous than me. But I've been in so many, you know, different situations in my life where, you know, I think I want something. I think I, you know, want to do this. But, you know, God has a different plan for me. So just like I said before, I put, you know, my full trust in God. And, you know, he's put me in a perfect place for me. And, you know, whatever his will is what's going to happen. So, you know, again, I'm excited to be a part of this organization and, you know, just ready to get to work.
God likes the Bears. Finally, it has taken long enough. Whatever it may be, whatever higher forces are at work, the Bears have a guy about whom we are allowed to be excited. Did you see that Dane Brugler of The Athletic just put out his second and third round mock draft selections for how he thinks it's going to fall? Tell me if you find this interesting. He has the Bears indeed at 52, taking offensive tackle Liam Eichenberg from Notre Dame, who we discussed with Hub Arkish. But what's fascinating...
He's your guy.
Well, here's the thing. He has the Dolphins at 50 getting Tevin Jenkins of Oklahoma State.
Okay.
So that's cutting it pretty close to get a chance at a guy a lot of people had a strong, solid first-round grade on in Jenkins, where I didn't see that in Eichenberg. I mean, across the board, Jenkins was believed to be a first-rounder who is not.
Jenkins was projected by many people to go to the Bears at 20.
Yes, at 20.
I want to key in on something going back to what we heard out of Fields, if that's okay, before we completely
Absolutely.
Get away from it. And you know I love a good offensive line. When he talks about overcoming the adversity, and there was a lot made about his reaction to being drafted, you can tell in that interview that he was disappointed about dropping out of the top 10. You could tell.
Sure.
I think that was a goal for him, and I don't mind that. But the background that he has with Georgia and Ohio State and how that has worked out for him, I think that that is really important. Because it's going to help him immensely facing the challenges and the adversity in the NFL. And I liked how he put it all together in his perspective toward it. And he said, you know, we've seen what happens to other teams who chose other people and how that worked out. And so I just wanted to point that out before we moved away from it. Because I think it's a grown man type of thing to go through at a young age.
He sounds mature, and by every report of every one of these psychological makeup tests and standardized tests that he's taken, that he's got the numbers to back it all up. But ultimately, he's got to get there. He's got to get in the huddle. He's got to sit in those meeting rooms and make it all happen at the NFL level. And it's not easy to do. He's got no idea what he's getting into. And maybe, just perhaps, he'll be the right fit finally for whatever the Matt Nagy system turns out to be. Because now they got to kind of unwind the Mitchification of everything and get it back to what they thought it could be. Sort of reinstall the program, perhaps, for him and put him to the test. But how are they going to do it? And who's going to be the day one quarterback? Let's hear from Bears general manager Ryan Pace when he was asked all of these big picture questions about what now.
Matt has spoken to Andy Dalton tonight. That communication and clarity for us is really important. Andy is our starter, and we're going to have a really good plan in place to develop Justin and do what's best for our organization to win games. We just got to let it play out. You know what I mean? And let it play out. I think one of the best feelings in the world would be, you know, hey, we're rolling, we're playing really good football, we're winning, and we're looking over there and we're seeing this guy, and we all know, everyone in the building knows that, hey, we got a guy, you know? But I think there's a lot, as you know, man, like as these guys coming into this, even all the experiences they have at the college level, you know, growing in, you know, watching tape, reading defenses, you know, working in the huddle, you know, Matt jokes, you know, Patrick's first time in the huddle. These guys haven't really even been in the huddle the way the college offenses are. And so Matt, you know, will always tell me a story, Patrick's first time in the huddle, you know, his first practice, he's screaming as loud as he can. He's like, dude, you don't got to scream. You're in a huddle, you know? And it's just so new for these guys. But it'll be a daily process, a daily evaluation, as you said, Mark, but we're excited to let that play out. Getting him is one thing, but for us to surround him and develop him is the other thing. I mean, we talk about, you can draft the players, but you have to develop them the right way. And that's what I love about the environment that we have. And Matt, as you said, he has the blueprint. Like, they did an awesome job with Patrick coming into Kansas City, with Alex there. And Matt and I have talked about that a lot that year and how it was handled. And he kind of has a blueprint on how that was, you know, how that whole situation went down. And what I love about our environment is the veteran quarterbacks that we have in that room. Like, I don't know if you look around the league how many teams have that kind of experience in the room. And then the coaches that we have surrounding that position, and I can't say that enough, like from Matt to Laser to Flip. I mean, Flip, he is one of the best coaches in the league at developing quarterbacks. I really believe that. And he is so excited tonight. Laser's excited and Matt's excited about the opportunity to do that, but at the right speed, because that's what matters, is developing this guy. The process and how we do that is important. We got a good plan in place to surround him with the right resources to develop him the right way.
I understand the Patrick Mahomes template. I know that after the fact, you can say that because Mahomes sat for a year, therefore he's now Patrick Mahomes. There's a bit of the post hoc ergo propter hoc fallacy in that. It's possible that Patrick Mahomes could have gone out there and been Patrick Mahomes from day one. Maybe not. But I think it's too easy to ascribe causality to that plan. Also, Justin Fields is a much more advanced X's and O's player than Mahomes was coming from that system. So I don't want to hold him back artificially.
I don't know about the last point, because that Texas Tech system, just because it worked well, doesn't mean that it didn't have multiple reads.
Oh, it's a collegiate system, though. I mean, he had to, that was really, if you remember the scouting reports on Mahomes, that was really some of the biggest negatives or weaknesses, is this guy going to be able to understand NFL passing? Because he was never asked to. You know, the stuff Fields has done in general has been more advanced. There have been multi-layered reads. There has been full field stuff, looking off safeties and some of that, where Mahomes really wasn't asked to do a lot of that and in a lot of the prepackaged things that they did.
Yeah, it's spread offense versus Big 12 defense. But to your point, Fields faced really good defenses, especially this last year. Like, four of the six I think he faced were in the top 31 nationally in yards per pass attempt. So that speaks to what you're talking about. I just think, like, having seen that offense for many, many years, I think there is some nuance to it. It doesn't really matter now. Mahomes proved himself. But I see what you're saying with the comp. I think they lean on Mahomes for good reason. He's the success story.
He is, but just because he sat for a year doesn't mean Justin Fields necessarily has to. And who knows more about a lot of the stuff regarding Fields and these systems than we do? His actual quarterback's coach, who's going to join us? Ron Veal will be our guest in a couple of minutes on The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station. Bernstein and Rahimi, 9 a.m. to noon on Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're finding out all we can about the Bears' new quarterback and quarterback of the future, former Ohio State Buckeye Justin Fields. So we thought we would talk to the guy who has been coaching him personally. He of the Quarterback Collective, his name is Ron Veal. He is on Twitter at RVFC10. He is on the Alpamonte Nissan hotline, Alpamonte Nissan on North Avenue in Melrose Park, or at apnissan.com. And he joins us on the Bernstein and Rahimi Show on The Score. Hi, Ron. How are you?
Oh, well, how you doing?
Good. When did you start to think, at what point in your work with Justin Fields did you say, I am looking at a potential NFL star?
That's a tough question, because I never looked at it from that point of view. I just looked at him as a young man with an abundance of talent, and I knew he would be a really, really good high school quarterback and a pretty decent college quarterback. Then when all of that stuff started to kick in college, that's when I started to see and say, well, this guy can take it to the next level.
We've talked a lot about his college resume on the show today, and his game against Clemson is the one that stands out, of course. But we had a writer on earlier, Bill Landis, for The Athletic, who covers Ohio State. And he said what he did against Michigan in 2019, after having that sprained knee and the knee brace and being able to come out and make the throws that he did, really showed his not just talent, but his resilience. What do you think about his college performance and how that translated to what we're going to see on the field coming up?
I think his college performance was excellent. He showed great poise in the pocket, going through his progressions, And the biggest thing I like about what he did was his leadership. When he got injured or took a hard shot, he always came back and produced even more on the field. Against Clemson, he took a big shot. Against Michigan, he took a big shot. And he came right back, threw a touchdown in both of those situations. And then he led his team to a victory. So I think he's real resilient. He's tough. He leads well. And he's learning how to become more and more of a vocal leader as well. Because he's very quiet, but he's getting to that point where he can lead with his mouth, you know, speaking with his mouth to be a leader as well.
From a coaching perspective, when you have a guy who is athletic enough and has the baseball background, the ability to throw from different angles and different platforms, how do you know what to coach out of him and what not to? How do you know to say, look, that's a way he throws the ball that's okay. I don't have to have everything be mechanically identical every time. How does you as a coach, how do you know the line from how to just sort of let him be himself?
Well, I think the situations dictate those things. Like when it's time for him to do some of those different arm angles, he can go right back to being a baseball player and get that angle with an efficiency. If it's in the pocket and he's up and down, there's no conflict, he'll stand there and deliver the ball on time. But the biggest thing is with the different arm angles, it's situation created, in my opinion. If it's situations that are created for you to be that creative, then you do it. And I think he has that ability to make those throws from those creative spots because of the baseball background. And he used it when he has to use it.
One of the biggest compliments that I read about Fields that I just loved was the ball whistled as he threw it. I don't even know how you get to that point of athletic eliteness to make that happen. How do you describe that and just the power that he has?
Well, he's a naturally strong kid, and he utilizes his base, his lower half to throw the ball with. And that goes back to that baseball background as well, from hitting, fielding. He also pitched when he was younger. So he's learned how to utilize his hips and his core to drive the football. And he's just naturally gifted with that. So he can make those throws, and it comes off really easy. And the accuracy is high as well.
What kind of coaching is best for him? Does he respond to more in your face? You know, do that again, run it again, give me five more. You got that wrong. We're going to stay here all day until you get it right. Or is it more, hey, I liked what you're doing here, but maybe here's an idea for you. The Bears word collaboration has taken on some different connotations here. But I wonder, with a lot of modern players, you can't scream at them like you used to, and some of them will just shut down. What's his personality type as far as being receptive to certain kinds of coaching?
Well, I think with any quarterback, you want to have an ideal relationship with your OC and your head coach. Justin is the type of kid who can take it from either perspective, the hard coaching or the coaching where it's more teaching and showing him what he did wrong, why he did it wrong, versus the yelling and the screaming and the cussing. I think he can deal with both of them, but I think the most effective one is the teaching part, sitting down, showing what he did wrong, explaining that, understanding that point of it, and then he'll go from there. That's my experience with him.
His pro day was so impressive for a multitude of reasons, whether it was the skill set of the throws he had or the 40 times that we've talked about. And I think it is notable that his 40 time for a quarterback was the fastest that we had seen since Robert Griffin, who had at one point Olympic level skill set in the track venue. When you talk about his speed and what that can do for him, what can we expect there, and how have you seen that come into fruition like it has?
I think he utilizes speed and his ability to escape the pocket when necessary. He wants to go through his progressions. He wants to make the throws on time, anticipation, with high accuracy. But when the pocket or that play breaks down, that's when the athleticism comes in, and then he has the ability to use those gifts to get out of trouble, extend the play, and he has the ability to take it the distance if he gets the right angle or the right hole that he hits. I think those type of plays where he can be explosive.
I'd love to talk about your history with him because you've known him for so long. What was your biggest breakthrough? What was the biggest sort of hill you had to climb with him as a quarterback and say, you got to get this part right? And I mean, we like to think everybody's a natural at everything, but was there one aspect that you were just, that you're more proud of coaching him in than another?
I think the biggest thing was making him understand that he has to go through his progressions first before he leaves the pocket. In high school, he was real quick to go from one to use his athleticism. But at Ohio State, they worked on that and they worked on it. And you saw him go through his progressions before any ideal of escaping the pocket or running took place. He would only do that when it was necessary. So I think that's the biggest thing that I saw in Justin's development is being put, staying on time, staying on schedule, and able to lead the pocket when it's necessary.
How do you think all that translates for him to the NFL and what we think the Bears offense could be?
Well, I think it translates well. He's playing with NFL-type guys, like the same type of guys he played with at Ohio State. You just got to get them the ball in an efficient manner and understand what he's doing, lead, and be proficient at what he's doing as far as their offense. And his athleticism and all that stuff will take over as it goes, you know, goes down. But I think he just understanding the game, learning the game, and they got a veteran quarterback in there, Dalton. Hopefully, the two can mesh and Dalton can teach him about the NFL, becoming a pro. And those things got to come together for him to, you know, really to be successful as a team.
There was a report just now on NFL Network where Ian Rappaport said that Matt Nagy talked to Fields before the draft about specific formations. And after the pick was made, he went back and asked Fields about a specific formation they discussed. And Nagy said that he spit it back perfectly and remembered everything about it. And I'm wondering how much you worked with him outside of physical tools and performance and throwing and all that. Did you work with him about terminology, about some of this voluminous stuff and understanding what certain things are called and how it goes from the board to the field?
To a certain extent, I was with him doing this combine training, and he was going through all of that stuff. But Justin is a very intelligent person. And he can recall information very fast, very quickly. You can tell him one time and he gets it. Maybe you'll tell him twice, but my dealings with him, you explain something to him one time and he has it. And he can regurgitate it right back to you the same way you gave it to him. So I think he's very sharp in that aspect. Now, to the extent to where we worked on, we will do film study and we'll go over his film and his mechanics. But I think the stuff at Ohio State for his offense and regurgitating that stuff at Ohio State played a bigger part in there than I did.
What was the last mechanical aspect that you had to work on to get him to this point? What was the thing that you thought really put it all together for him that you guys did?
Well, what we worked on is like kind of narrowing his base a little bit, because he was getting a little too wide. That's the main thing, is like keeping his body and his footwork underneath him so he doesn't get extended on his drops or his sets. And just keeping him really compact so he can have a short stroke and be explosive from that point where his base is really underneath him versus wide. Those are the small things that we worked on.
Talking with Ron Veal, the quarterback's coach, he of the QB Collective, who has worked for a long time with new Bear Justin Fields. Do you think he's ready for this to be as all-consuming as NFL life is? It's one thing when you're even being a dedicated college player. It's a different thing when every day there's the facility and this is your job and what they expect with nutrition and weight training and all the meetings and all that. Does he know what's coming for him?
All I can say is he might think he does, but who knows? He's learning. He's walking into a different world. He's becoming a professional athlete. So he's going to only compare what he already knows from Ohio State to what he's trying to get into. And I think he'll adapt to the situations. He'll learn how to become a pro. And he'll go from there. He's very intelligent. Like I said before, he'll sit down and figure it out like most athletes have to do. And you just continue to learn as you go.
I think that's a huge vote of confidence. And that's something that even you retweeted when on your Twitter, you posted the scouting report on him and some of the impressions. And that was huge. His ability to digest the schemes and execute that complex on the field instruction. I can't help but think that that's going to set him forward.
I agree. I think that's where, you know, some of the reports came out about he can't do this and he can't do that. But like I said, I was around him for 8 weeks and I was around him from most of his growing up his life. He's always been an intelligent person. And if he doesn't know something, he will ask. You're like, what does that mean? What do you want me to do here? And those type of questions generates what he wants. And once he gets it, he gets it.
You know, that's no small thing for someone to advocate for themselves. It really, I mean, academically, I know we always talk about that with both of our kids. Like sometimes even really smart kids are embarrassed to say they don't know something. And in a classroom setting to say, explain that to me. If he's already there, if he has the confidence in himself to ask about what he doesn't know and advocate for himself, that's huge. I'm really happy to hear that.
Yeah, he will. And that's how I've been dealing with him for, you know, like I said, for the longest. If he doesn't understand, he will ask. And that's how we learn. That's exactly how we learn as people. You know, ask why.
Life lessons. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Ron Veal, thank you very much. You should be proud of your work and your pupil. I know Bears fans are very excited. Thanks for taking the time to join us.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
That is Ron Veal of Quarterback Collective on Bernstein Rahimi. You've been saving a precious piece of sound you want me to hear, and you're not telling me what it is.
Yeah, but then the Score Studio came in on the chat, and the message is, change up. We have fresh audio from Ian Rappaport talking about the process of selecting fields, and we're going to play it next.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
Yeah, and this is not Mitchell Trubisky. That was kind of an out-of-nowhere pick, and I think a lot of people were scratching their heads at the time. This was a player in Justin Fields who most teams, I would say, that I spoke with believed that he was the number three quarterback on the board. He also really impressed everyone in the pre-draft process. Let me give you two interesting tidbits about the Bears and why Justin Fields was the guy for them. First of all, Matt Nagy and Ryan Day, Fields' coach at Ohio State, are pretty close. Nagy calls up Ryan Day during the season last year and just kind of wonders, hey, how's your quarterback? What's going on? Ryan Day says, he is a generational talent, and that's something that I know the Bears never forgot. The other thing is they love Justin Fields' intellect and his recall. Late last night, after the pick had been made, you know, the teams did all these Zoom calls with the players. They tried to teach the players, as the Bears did, teaching Justin Fields their offense and formations and all that during the Zoom calls. So just for fun, Matt Nagy hits up Fields last night and says, hey, you remember that formation we went over during the Zoom? Told him, asked him, what was it? And Fields spit it back perfectly, remembered everything about it. Really impressive mentally, and obviously a lot of the reason why the Bears are extremely excited.
I mean, this guy's toughness on a scale 1 to 10 is an 11.
You noticed I was tipped off to that stuff from Ian Rappaport during the interview with Ron Veal and tried to work it into a question. So I want to thank our de facto intern, Jason Bernstein, who's actually in school right now for somehow finding that piece of sound and sending that along to my phone. I imagine it's between classes or in ACT Lab or something. I don't know how it works, but I can't argue with the grades. So thank him for tipping us off to that. So good stuff there. You could get the feeling that it's like... The fact that it's so un-Trubisky-like, they're like, wait, he knew it. He remembered it. He knew the play. That Nagy just had to be, you know, doing naked cartwheels after that. What that means to this coaching staff.
Next thing you know, he'll know what a hard count is.
He won't have a wristband on, right?
Okay.
You set this up. I want to know what this is because you've been teasing all of us.
Yeah, I just... we talk a lot about the appreciation for GMs and coaches to let us in on the process. And I found a quote, and I want to read it before I tell you who said it, from an NFL GM. "We've made some mistakes forcing picks and positions. So we've spent so much time on this draft and process and so many discussions about the players in this draft that we're not going to reach. We're going to take the best guys." Actually admitting mistakes, forcing picks and positions. Is that refreshing or is it just me?
Now I have to guess who it is.
Not necessarily, but I kind of want to tell you who it is because there's always a parallel somewhere between these two franchises. Eagles general manager, Howie Roseman.
Hmm.
How about that?
And wow, the earth didn't stop spinning. Nobody exploded. Nothing horrible happened. No team got further away from a Super Bowl just by being a normal human being and admitting that maybe there have been some things in the past that didn't go 100%. Wow.
I wonder if he's referring to their quarterback draft. And I don't mean Carson Wentz, but that's a stretch.
Probably not, because I would hope that he would probably be inoculating against that being a possibility. Because knowing Philly, their radio people are probably all over it, you know, doing exactly what our caller did before with conspiracy theories. But yeah, I mean, it's okay to say that we're always trying to optimize what we do based on the success or failure of how we're doing it. That's all right. That's just business. You can admit that. Other GMs do, other managers and other businesses do all the time. That means you're conscientious about your work.
I just enjoyed the "we made some mistakes" comment and the fact that that could really be any NFL GM. It's okay to say. That's
any sports GM, any GM in any business, it's okay to say something like that. It's important to admit stuff like that. Lawrence Holmes will do transition with us next on a Bears Friday on The Score.
This is Ian Happ, your center fielder from the north side. Connect Roasters and I are happy to announce the Home Run Club, a coffee subscription for baseball fans. You'll get freshly roasted coffee shipped to your door on the first of every month, access to exclusive game-used merch, personal notes from me, and most importantly, when I hit a home run, you'll get $5 towards coffee and merch on connectroasters.com. Our goal is to have 1,000 members enjoying great coffee and giving back to the community. For more information, go to connectroasters.com or homerunclub.coffee. Together, we can make a difference, one cup at a time.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.